Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We waited a long time, sports fans, and finally we got a weekend chock full of basketball, hockey, baseball, golf, NASCAR, even some world team tennis this weekend. There was UFC. It was everywhere. It was all the time, and it was glorious. I was much more excited and enthusiastic even than I thought I would be. So I hope you enjoyed it. What's the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of you are pointing to the Rockets' victory over the Bucks and the way they played down the stretch. We're about to go inside that game here momentarily. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
150 to go. Middleton doubled to Giannis into the paint. Euro steps. Harden stole it from him. Harden picked his pocket. Harden bounced past Westbrook by Middleton. Layup good. 9 in a row for the Rockets. 113, 112. They regain the lead.
Craig Ackerman on the Houston Rockets radio network. Russell Westbrook finished with 31 points, and it was a 9-0 run that brought the Rockets back when they were trailing by 8 with roughly 3 minutes to go. We're pleased to welcome Eric Name to the show. He covers the Bucks for The Athletic in Wisconsin. Eric, what did you see in those final 3 minutes from Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, they really had a rough go of it tonight. It's something that this team all year has really blown out a lot of teams. So they haven't been forced into a spot where they've had to play a lot of close games. And they did it on Friday night against the Celtics. They played a close game there. They finished it out. Giannis made a couple plays. Chris Middleton hit a couple shots, made a couple nice passes, and they're able to close it out. But tonight, it was really just kind of a comedy of errors from, you know, about 3 minutes left. They had been posting up Brook Lopez the entire night. Chris Middleton tosses him what looks like a pretty simple pass. Brook Lopez has it bounce off his hands and go out of bounds. And then from that point, it was turnovers, sloppy play, late getting into their offensive sets. Like it was just kind of sloppy basketball that we really haven't seen much from the Bucks this season. And they had ended up losing this one and just doing something totally uncharacteristic of what they've done thus far this season.
Except that, as you talk about, they've had it easy in a lot of games. So do you think these might actually be good for them before they get to the playoffs? They've got this cushion. They're still likely to be the number one seed in the East. This might be some good adversity for them.
Yeah. We talked to Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Mike Budenholzer after the game, and all three kind of said that exact same thing, that, you know, these are things that we need to learn from. These are things that we need to go through. So it's good that these things are happening now as opposed to waiting for the postseason and having these happen in, you know, a seven-game series where you actually need that game. So getting a chance to go through some of those things now maybe does end up helping them out a little bit. So that is what they would say. In my opinion, that kind of sounds like loser talk. That, you know, when you lose a game, that's the kind of thing that you say, as opposed to just finishing it out and doing what you're supposed to do, especially when they had really found a way to take advantage of that strange kind of Rockets defense where they don't have a true center on the floor, they're playing small, and the Bucks just figured it out in the second half. And then in the final 3 minutes, just kind of lost their minds, and it got ugly in a hurry.
Milwaukee Bucks are now 54-13. The magic number to clinch that top spot in the East remains at 1. Eric Name with us from Milwaukee covers the Bucks for The Athletic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. How rusty do they look to you to start out this seeding stretch in Orlando?
I think the most noticeable way that they look rusty is that they're just not able to play as long as they typically do and play as hard as they typically do. One of the big things with this Bucks team is just kind of the idea that they're going to go really hard. They're going to play really hard. That's Giannis's thing. That's Chris Middleton's thing. Typically, Giannis does that for about a 6.5-7 minute stretch at a time. And right now, he's going about 4.5 minutes. And then Mike Budenholzer's pulling him out. And, you know, he's not going that same distance. He's not kind of stretched out. It's actually strange to hear Mike Budenholzer talk. He kind of sounds like a Major League Baseball manager talking about stretching out starting pitching. Like, that's what they're trying to do with their guys right now. And to me, that's the biggest thing, is that they just can't go for that long of stretches. They don't really look good in those minutes where all of a sudden they get a little bit tired. So I think that's the biggest part of the rust. But, you know, from a skill standpoint, I think for the most part they've looked pretty much like the Bucks normally look, where they have really explosive offense, they're great defensively. All those things have kind of been there for the Bucks. I do just think the big thing is they're getting tired earlier, and that's always going to kind of lead to some sloppy basketball and make you maybe look a little bit rustier than you normally would.
Mm. Giannis was really outspoken before they got to Orlando about how this is going to be a more difficult championship to win, but not just the logistics of it, but also the idea that you have to be sequestered. There's many other distractions. You're not on your home court, where, of course, they had played so well this year. But what stands out to you about the leadership that he has shown in the Bucks starting things up again in Florida?
Yeah, to me, it's always been kind of a singular vision from this team the entire season. Whether it was, you know, the preseason where people wanted to talk about them not being good enough from last year, the way that they lost 4 straight games in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Raptors, that really wasn't what they wanted to think about or talk about. They just wanted to talk about trying to get better every day and trying to get to a championship this year. When they won 18 straight games earlier this year, they didn't really want to talk about the winning streak, think about the winning streak, really worry about that anyway. They just wanted to go out there and get better every day and talk about possibly winning a championship. And that's kind of been the calling card of this team, is that is their only focus. They don't necessarily care about recognition. They don't care about, you know, how many guys they get to the All-Star game. They're not going to talk about whether or not Giannis should be the MVP. Like, they're not going to do any of that. They're just going to remain focused on trying to win a championship. And to me, that's been the biggest part of his leadership, is just keeping that vision focused on that end goal. And that's the biggest thing that we've seen as they've gotten back on the floor and kind of been able to go through all of this.
What is the Bucks' Achilles heel?
I think it's all about three-point shooting, and it's about three-point shooting on both sides of the ball. Tonight, they gave up 61 threes to the Houston Rockets, which is the Rockets, that's their thing. They're trying to shoot a bunch of threes. But the Bucks are, you know, really kind of susceptible to teams that want to jack up those threes. And just about any time you see this team really struggle this year, it's been a team either putting up a franchise record of attempts, hitting a franchise record of threes. That's kind of their problem on the defensive side. They're great at the rim. They might be the best rim-protecting defense in probably modern NBA basketball history, probably the last 20 years or so. They're that good at protecting the rim, but to do so, they've sacrificed the three-point line. And then I think on the other side of the ball, the big thing is that you want to spread out the floor for Giannis. You want to make sure that he has as much space to operate as possible. But to do that, you got to hit threes, and they're just not a great three-point shooting team. They jack up a bunch of them. They're going to shoot a ton of threes every single night, but they don't have a ton of super knockdown shooters. It's more about the volume that they get up, and that's how they spread the floor for Giannis, as opposed to just having a lot of dead-eye shooting.
Isn't that supposed to be Kyle Korver's job?
Yeah, but he's getting a little old. he's been in the league for a while. He can't play as much every night. In the playoffs, he's probably good for about 10 minutes. So those other 38 minutes each night, they got to find more and more guys to be those dead-eye shooters.
Looking at the Marvin Williams consistency piece, too, I think is really important. Was there a stretch this season where he was extremely consistent, where they could rely on him off the bench, not just for the minutes, but also for the scoring, like he did when he first started in Orlando, that first game?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with him is that, you know, he's been in the league forever now, and they were just so excited to get him on the buyout market. But, you know, he's a guy that hasn't been to a conference finals. He's played in more games than just about anyone in the league and hasn't even been to the conference finals. So I think some of this is new for him, but what you've seen in it being new for him, being on this good of a team, is that since he's played in so many games, he's been in the league so long, he truly appreciates it. Like, the first game that he played, he was on the deck, diving on the floor, and it was just like, okay, scrimmage game in Orlando, and one of the old guys is diving on the floor. It was just kind of incredible to see. So, you know, he struggled with his shot when he first got here with the Bucks in Milwaukee, but they really love what he does defensively. They love his consistency, his effort, you know, just that kind of veteran stability. So, we'll see if it ends up coming, and I guess really the shot, if that ends up coming along as well with him, because they loved everything else. He just wasn't hitting quite enough threes, which is kind of the story for everyone on this team outside of, you know, Chris Middleton and George Hill.
I wonder if Marvin and Chris Paul have ever had a conversation about getting so close and yet not getting to the promised land. Well, conference finals and then beyond.
Right. It's kind of crazy to think that, you know, you just have a couple guys from that draft that have been around and are highly, highly respected, but just haven't been able to get to that spot.
Eric Name from Milwaukee with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think they took away from last year's playoff run?
Man, I think that the thing that's really interesting is just kind of how fast the NBA moves at this point, because that was their first, like, real playoff run. They had been to the playoffs the last couple of years before that, but, you know, it was Giannis still not quite the number one guy the first time around, and then, you know, the year before that, that was his first, like, real series as a true number one, but They had Joe Prunty as the head coach filling in for Jason Kidd, and they had fired Kidd halfway through the year. So it just wasn't like an ideal situation. And last year was that first year where they really had it all figured out. Bud was there and put this system together that really unlocked Giannis. And yet the storyline is, you know, Giannis never gotten it done in the playoffs, and, you know, you just don't know what he can do as a closer. And, you know, watching them here in Milwaukee, last year was kind of the first year where they really got that taste of the postseason. They had been there, but first-round series are different. Like, this was real playoff basketball, a real playoff postseason attempt at a finals run. That was their first time last year. So I think the big thing is, you know, what happens when you get punched in the face a couple of times, and you lose two straight games in the conference finals, and, you know, you're going home for a game five on your home court. How do you win that game? How do you find a way to, you know, turn the tide after you've had a couple of struggles? I think that is something that you can really only, you know, learn with experience. And they had a 4-game sweep in the first round. They had a 5-game series in the second round. They just didn't have a ton of true playoff adversity, and that's different than any other type of adversity. I remember Giannis telling me, you know, after they flamed out there, that multiple times last year he kept thinking, "Oh man, this is really hard. You know, this is really tough." And then he said, "I got to this postseason series. I got to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then I figured out, oh, that other stuff was easy. This is the hard thing." this is I've never felt anything like this before. So to me, I think that's the big thing, is that they just haven't really gone through that before. They haven't felt that, and last year was the first time that they did.
Eric, before I let you go, what do you think of what you see and hear from these TV broadcasts coming out of Orlando so far?
I hear a lot of people are mad about too much crowd noise, or I mean it's fake crowd noise because there isn't a crowd, but they're mad about all of that. And I don't know, like, I've been, maybe I'm just in the zone, but I'm relatively unbothered by the crowd noise or anything else. Like, I'm just watching the game, firing out some tweets. So I think I'm probably on like the far end. The only thing I can really complain about is a couple times, you know, on some of the broadcasts, I don't really need to hear the ball bouncing on the hardwood. Like, I don't, that's too much. I don't actually need to hear that.
Or the sneaker squeaking.
No, I don't need that. Like, that's just like too much. We got to find the balance and bring those down a little bit. And maybe let me hear more of the players speaking, yelling at each other, whatever that may be. Let me hear more of that. I don't need to hear the ball bounce.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It feels like we don't actually hear a whole lot more of the players than we would in any other typical broadcast or typical year. I haven't noticed that. Right. It's all that different, except, of course, it's the same piped-in crowd noise over and over. It never changes because it's on a loop. So you're not getting, like, the ebbs and flows, really. It's just, yeah, it's interesting for sure. And they also use the camera angles to kind of mask the fact that there are no fans in the stands. They very rarely give you a wide camera angle where you can see the whole court. So,
right.
Yeah.
I have no complaints. Basketball is back. How could I really be that mad?
That's right. Okay. You can find Eric on Twitter at Eric_name, spelled NEHM. Covers the Bucks for The Athletic in Wisconsin. Good to have you on board. Thanks for a couple of minutes, Eric. Have a great night.
Thank you. Same to you.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Eric makes a good point. There's a lot happening in terms of the audio and in terms of the visuals that they're piping in. But what you're not getting is what we thought, or at least what I thought, which is more of the communication among the players. It seems like in the NHL, it's a little less overt, a little less obvious, the crowd noise, but it's certainly there. And I have no idea how the NFL is going to do it, but we know Fox is talking about virtual fans in the stands. Major League Baseball, it depends on which broadcast you're watching or what you're listening to, because they certainly have the audio either piped up or turned down, depending on what you're watching or what network you're following. Sometimes it's loud and obvious, and other times it's more of a background sensation. What's the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you on board. Thanks for joining us, After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hard pulls back, shoots for three. Good! Big time basket, 103-101. And with that hoop, James Harden has just passed David Robinson for 39th on the all-time scoring list.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
James Harden is at a pretty impressive start to the Orlando tenure. Orlando residency, we could call it, for the NBA. James Harden ended up with 49 points on Saturday night, or Friday, his first game. And then in 34 minutes on Sunday evening against the Bucks, he had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 steals. So he likes to drop down into the post toward the low block and snag those passes that are intended for the post players. And he does it by cheating. And he kind of disguises what he's planning to do. But if you know James Harden's game, he likes to drift down there and look for those double team opportunities and those passes coming into the post. So a big defensive effort for the Rockets down the stretch, in which they erased an 8-point deficit against Milwaukee in the final 3 minutes and won with a big effort offensively from Russell Westbrook. He had 31 points, 120-116 the final. That's Craig Ackerman on the Rockets radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a lot more from NBA, NHL. But of course, there was some news from Major League Baseball over the weekend as well. And of course, with Major League Baseball and with the heightened awareness of the virus now and how quickly it can spread, there's, I would say, a lot of tension, a fair amount of tension. When these guys get on the field, for the most part, I would say it's pretty obvious they are locked in, but you can't help but avoid, you can't help but see, I guess that's the wrong way. You can't avoid, I got all verbose and screwed it up. You can't help but notice, you can't avoid the headlines about teams getting tested, being sequestered, potentially being cleared, games being postponed. Now, the good news comes from the Marlins. They're actually getting ready to play baseball again. They've gone through two straight days of negative tests. And so they're getting ready to play again on Monday. Originally, what Rob Manfred said is that they were suspended. Their play was suspended through Sunday, that they would reevaluate about Monday's game. And they are expected to play on Monday. But now, the St. Louis Cardinals have multiple new positive results for the virus as a result of Saturday's testing. Okay, so going back to Saturday, the team had a player and three staff members test positive. Then there were four other guys whose results were inconclusive. I don't really know what that means, but somehow the test didn't come back with either a positive or a negative. All these Cardinals isolated from each other. They got to Milwaukee for a three-game series. All three games had to be postponed. And this requires some flex scheduling. So they have an upcoming series with Detroit. It was supposed to be a home and home, but now the Cardinals and Tigers will play all four games in Detroit. There's a doubleheader on the schedule for Wednesday. So now they've got Monday off because of the tweaks in the schedule. And so they can do more testing to see if they've stopped the spread. But again, they had a bunch of tests that were inconclusive, so they're not really sure what Sunday's testing is going to show. It's being fast-tracked, so they're using that lab in Utah exclusively to service Major League Baseball tests, and they're trying to get these fast-tracked. And according to reports, there are going to be other positives. So we'll see whether or not baseball pivots, whether or not Rob Manfred comes out and speaks again. If you were following the saga over the weekend, on Friday, he appeared to be issuing a bit of a warning. I guess you could say it bordered on being a threat, but I don't think we're at that point where threats are necessary. To me, it was more a warning. If you guys can't make this work, we could suspend the league and suspend play as early as Monday. To me, that seemed a little over the top. The majority of the teams are still playing. Maybe he was worried that it was going to get worse over the weekend. But again, there's good news with the Marlins, and the report on Saturday was that the Phillies' positive tests may have been false positives because subsequent tests have been negative. So the testing is not infallible. We already know that. Whether it's greater society, whether it's in sports, which is why they're requiring multiple negative tests before you can get into a bubble. They're requiring three negative tests before you can get into the NFL facilities. That's why so many tests. Mark Hesischer, who joined us from the Orlando bubble on Thursday night show after calling Clippers Lakers, he had to go through two tests before he could get into the arena. So that's why they're requiring more than one, is because they are worried about either inconclusive or false results, positive or negative, either way. The volume of testing is supposed to be the buffer. It's supposed to be that safety net to make sure they catch it. And so the Phillies now believe they had false positives, and they're getting ready to play again. Friday, Rob Manfred said, we may have to shut down as early as Monday if players can't understand the severity and the ramifications of their actions, if they're not taking care of their business away from the field, when they're not with the team, they have to be uber cautious. Essentially, they're quarantining, especially if they're with families. The whole family has to take on this responsibility. And it's not easy. And it's super inconvenient. But this is what's required if baseball is going to continue. And so Rob Manfred fired this warning shot on Friday, but then did a complete about face on Saturday. I'm not sure if you saw his interview that he did with Carl Ravage. But on Saturday, he indicated, we're not shutting down the season. We're continuing with the schedule. We'll tweak it as much as possible. But sure, it's likely that not every team is going to play 60 games. We're not shutting things down for one or two franchises. We're not shutting things down when the majority of the teams are doing what they're supposed to do. And honestly, I would feel terrible for the teams that have worked so hard, that have remained clean, that have World Series aspirations, and even if it's not World Series, that have waited so long to get back on the field. So Rob Manfred's kind of flip-flopped. One day it's, hey, a warning shot. You better watch out what you're doing or we're going to suspend the season. The next day it's, no, we're not suspending the season. I don't think that's necessary. I can't predict, obviously. I have no idea what's going to happen from one day to the next. But as long as the majority of the teams are still playing day in and day out and they have the ability to tweak the schedule, well, then they should keep going. The NFL, meanwhile, they're being uber cautious. Doug Peterson tested positive for COVID-19. He's asymptomatic, but he is the second NFL coach who's tested positive. So he obviously is taking precautions now. But he says he feels fine, which is great news. We've seen both Matthew Stafford and Gardner Minshew among starting quarterbacks go on the COVID-19 injured list, COVID-19 reserve list. Minshew lives with two other guys on the team, and they're all in quarantine right now. And just so you know, it's not required that the NFL teams indicate whether or not these guys have the virus. The COVID-19 injured list is either you have the virus or you've presumably come in contact with someone who might have the virus or is tested positive. So they're layers of protection, and they're doing what they can because time is not of the essence at this point with the NFL. They've got weeks to play with. Yes, the football is going to be sloppy. We've already accepted that. But at this point, it's more important that they get everybody healthy, make sure that everybody's clean, than it is that they start running through contact drills. So there's a lot happening every day. There's something new when it comes to the virus, but it's also every day now something new on the field, on the court, on the ice, which is amazing. We've seen close games. We've seen drama, fantastic finishes, individual feats of strength, because sports are back, baby.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Marte swung on and missed strike three on a slider. Two batters in, Kershaw has, he's brought his A game.
That was fun. I missed it. You know, it was hard to miss opening day, obviously. And, you know, I was a little, you know, not worried, but I didn't know how long it was going to take for my back to get better. And then I bounced back pretty quick. And so just thankful I got to get out there today. And, yeah, I felt good. It was awesome just to be back out there and get a win. It felt good.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It felt good to watch Clayton Kershaw on the mound as well. I really enjoyed that game. Caught it on MLB Network. Clayton and the Dodgers and their home run bats. Boy, have they continued to smoke the baseball in these last few games. But Clayton goes 5 2/3 scoreless in his season debut, allowing just three hits, and really turned into a ground ball pitcher in the last couple of innings. Struck out six, and so the Dodgers continue to come out of the gate fast. They've got 7 wins now, same as the Yankees and the Cubs. And I was looking at it earlier. There's another team. Oh, the Braves. The Braves also have 7 wins. Oh, and so do the Twins. So look at that. It's a healthy race right now out of the gate, which is great. One of the things that 60 games will do is not allow a lot of separation among the best teams in baseball. And remember, we've got expanded playoffs this year where it's the top 2 teams in each division plus 2 more teams from each league. So we're talking about 16 teams. More than half of baseball will be into the postseason. And as much as that will be great for us as fans and fun for the extra teams, gives them something to shoot for all the way through. Let's be honest, baseball also makes a lot more money with TV rights in the postseason. So that's the reason they're expanding the playoffs. Whatever gives us better baseball. The hunt for October. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And it's on top of what Geico can already save you. No need to wait. Visit geico.com to learn more. Again, 855-212-4227. For CBS. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll do some football because there's a lot going on in football as many of these teams are actually about to convene their first practices or first full squad meetings on Monday. And of course, there's a lot of consternation as well. Baseball went through it. Basketball went through it. Not as much with hockey. They were relatively quiet. Not a whole lot of players making noise about opting out. But there have been a bunch of Patriots, now 8 different Patriots who have opted out. You've got guys who are upset about the way the NFL is handling the opt-outs. You've also got guys that have been sent home from the facilities. You've got guys that are returning after having been injured last year and now having to figure out if they're ready to go to test whatever repaired body part they have, but doing it without any preseason games. And so there's just there's a lot of NFL players, similar again to baseball, hockey, and basketball, who are feeling the uncertainty, who are nervous about handling everything that's being thrown at them. And as much as they want to be confident about the season, there are times when they are skeptical. That's what I heard from Matt Ryan. He said, I want to be confident. I believe the Falcons are taking care of us and they're committed to their protocols. But you hear what happens in baseball and you're skeptical. Well, this is the danger zone. And that's what I called it with baseball. That's what I called it with basketball and hockey, even soccer. Remember how bumpy the reentry for MLS in their Orlando bubble? Because of the constant testing and because of the travel, because of a bunch of these guys getting together for the first time, because there's so many people, 2 MLS teams were booted. They were asked to leave Orlando. MLS was taking no chances. The rest of the tournament has moved forward, full speed ahead. A couple of postponements early, a couple of teams, but they've essentially, I think they're into the quarterfinals now, they've essentially gone forward to this World Cup style tournament with no more major issues. This is the danger zone for football. If they can get everybody tested, if they can get everybody in, if they can get to a clean starting point and really impress upon the athletes, the staff members, the coaches, everybody, that safety is imperative, that you can't play fast and loose with the protocols or the guidelines or even your freedom during the season. Maybe it's not fair, quote unquote, but they're being asked to choose a priority. Is your priority your family, your freedom, the ability to live your life the way you want without having to worry about other people? And I don't mean families, but your teammates. Generally, these guys don't worry about each other off the field. Or can you make football such a priority that you're willing to limit your personal freedoms and your personal choices, your personal activities away from the team, knowing that if you do take a risk, if you do play fast and loose with your freedoms, well, then you could end up being the guy that brings the whole thing down.
It's very tenable.
Well, that's for damn sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I desperately want to see football. I know many of you are in the same boat. As much as you're thrilled to see maybe hockey or basketball or baseball back, football drives the bus. It really does. I can't imagine a fall without football. I refuse to imagine a fall without football. But this is the time when there's a lot of trepidation. It's a precarious position these guys are in. But I do take hope from baseball. It's funny because as much as Matt Ryan said, you watch what the Marlins are going through and you wonder if it'll work. But I say, focus on the rest of Major League Baseball, not on the Marlins. Focus on what's happening around the rest of the league, where the majority of teams are still clean and playing. It is possible, but it requires personal sacrifice. And these guys are not immune or ignorant of personal sacrifice. They've had to sacrifice so much to get where they are at the highest level of their sports. So I do believe it can be done. But I don't begrudge anyone who opts out if it's not worth it to you or you feel like there's too much of a risk to it. I don't begrudge any of these guys. And honestly, if you think about how violent football is, no doubt some of these guys who are already financially stable, financially set, don't need the money from this season other than the $150,000 that would come from opting out. Why shouldn't they take a year off? Maybe give their mind and their bodies a break. Except, of course, if their team ends up winning a Super Bowl without them, then oopsie. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We'll hear one soundbite from Bill Belichick, because that's really the team by far that's had more opt-outs than any other. And so we're up to 8 Patriots, multiple starters, who've decided they will not play in 2020.
I respect all of them, I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions, I talked to those guys, and they explained their situation, and they had to make the decision that was best for them, and I totally respect and support it 100%.
Is it possible that Bill Belichick was playing with a kazoo in the background? Did you hear that weird quack? Of course he's going to say that, and I hope it's sincere. Whether or not we agree with their decisions, we don't actually get a say. We don't have an opinion. We don't get to have input on whether an athlete opts in or opts out. We only get to decide if we opt in or opt out at our own jobs. I know a lot of people are furloughed. A lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people have been reduced to, say, part-time work share. But if we don't feel comfortable going to work, we do have the option of walking away from our jobs too. But we don't get to decide that for anybody else. It's a really bold-faced reminder that these guys are humans first, world-class athletes second. And just because they're world-class athletes doesn't mean that they are immune to other concerns and worries. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, what's the best thing you saw in sports this weekend? Tony on Twitter says lots of baseball. No doubt, it was great. Nick on Twitter, the physicality and grit that Michael Ferland brought to the table versus the Wild in game one. It's pretty cool to think that they're jumping right into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Boom. These 5-game series, gosh, you can feel the tension right off the top. And to have one game go into overtime, the Penguins surprised in overtime by the Canadiens, and then to have the Avalanche score with 0.1 seconds remaining to break a tie against St. Louis on Sunday. That was crazy, too. Couple of surprise results as well. The Blackhawks came out strong, won their game. The Flyers beat the Bruins pretty handily. And so there's a lot happening. And honestly, I think anything goes early on. Early on in Edmonton and Toronto, early on in Orlando, I'm not going to be surprised by anything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Best thing you saw in sports this weekend? Brandon on Facebook. Mookie Betts, a throw from right field to third base to get the runner out. Yeah, he's got quite an arm. We know that. What is it, five consecutive gold gloves for every year he's been in the league? Pauline on Facebook. The Raptors beat the Lakers Saturday night. Joe on Facebook. Dansby Swanson and the Braves off to a great start. Yep, one of the teams with seven wins. Clark says, I'm such a hypocrite saying I won't watch baseball and then watching the Baltimore Orioles, but I liked it. Clark, at least you are man enough to admit it. That gets a like on Facebook. David on Facebook, the best thing I saw in sports this weekend, the Orioles turning the first ever leadoff double play in baseball history. Those new extra inning rules made it possible. Go O's. That's so funny. I mean, just funny in general. Like I said, anything goes. Here are the Orioles sitting in second place behind the Yankees in the AL East. David on Facebook, from 1 to 6, I'm not sure what time zone he's in, NBA, and then from 6 to 12:45 MLB. That was Saturday. Sunday was an MLB afternoon and evening. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Feels kind of nice to settle into that groove, doesn't it? Sandy says, watching Brooks Koepka. Too bad he didn't win this weekend. They were in Memphis. Justin Thomas won, actually. Must be the facial hair that was bad luck. I feel the same way about Gordon Hayward. What is that thing on his face? It doesn't really fit there. This weekend on CBS, speaking of golf, the best in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker trophy, or will someone else step up to take his place in history? The PGA Championship, first major in 13 months, is live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on CBS. All right, we'll do some football coming up. We've also got your phone calls, 855-212-4227. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.